Hello and welcome to the Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast. It is great to have you with us. We are brought to you by Lake Imaging. Unfortunately, Lake Imaging has been a little bit busy this week with a couple of Cats players, but we're going to get to that very, very shortly. We're going to be joined by a former Cat and former Swan who is now doing some wonderful things with the community team here at the Cats, Paul Chambers. We're going to be joined by Amy McDonald, the best and fairest winner in the AFLW, ahead of her first game with the VFLW. Be great to chat with her. We'll get to your questions. We'll do all that. But before we do, welcome my partner in crime, Scotty Gallen. Hello, Scotty.
Hello, Cameron. Great to be here. We forecast this. We said they'll flick the switch.
Did we? 10-goal quarter?
Really? You were there with your 15 kids and you didn't see much of it. A few toilet breaks, I hear. But explain watching football as a parent, please.
Yes, I loved that second quarter, but I did spend portions of it in the toilet. I had a number ones break in the first quarter, and then they decided both boys. I took my four-year-old to his first game. My six-year-old's an avid fan. Eight-year-old missing because of a kid's party. Now, who?
You got to check the footy
who
record.
Who books in a kid's party when the Cats are at home on a
Saturday
afternoon?
Surprised he went. Disappointed he went, actually.
Yeah, we put a little bit of pressure on him. You got to go support your mate at his birthday party. He was a little bit torn. But my four-year-old, my six-year-old decided they'd go number twos during the second quarter and then needed to go number ones again at halftime. So I heard the decision of the wonderful Mitch Duncan goal, the roar of the crowd from deep inside the bowels of the toilets at
discipline
Stadium.
Or drinking of pot. Something's going on if they need to go to the toilet that much. But it was 10-goal, 1 second quarter. I mean, we know it's been there. And they just delivered. And on West Coast, I mean, they were horrible, as their coach said. But the way Geelong played, and there was a few exciting moments.
There were some incredibly exciting
moments. A number that you do like, number five.
And Jeremy Cameron playing his first game, it wasn't like he just got a couple of goals late and they're already 10 goals up. He was right in the middle of the run.
Tsunami, tidal wave. Yeah, he rode it.
And finished beautifully. And the crowd got as loud. It's as loud as I've heard the crowd since that magical moment that our great mate Zach Tui loves us bringing up all the time when he kicked the winner.
I've forgotten about that.
And they were right behind him. And okay, I'm overthinking this, Scotty. I am going
way too deep.
Where
are you going?
There's something primal. My childlike instinct of the movement in the forward line of the number five Guernsey for the Cats.
Gets you up and about.
When there's goals flying here at Cadinia Park, GMHBA Stadium, it was beautiful to watch. I was loving every minute of it.
The big three, and Gary Rowan certainly, we forgot about how he was going to benefit from this. He just started taking hangers everywhere. They all kicked three, 9 goals, beautiful return. And then the bloke on the wing. No one seemed to pay much attention to Mitchie Duncan.
Mitch Duncan just
should have had five, Mr. Sitter.
Should have had five. So 26 disposals. He's kicked 4 goals, including the beautiful barrel at half time, which I don't think, he didn't fully know.
No, he didn't flush it. No way he flushed it.
Hey, can we claim one thing?
Yes. We claim a lot of
last week's podcast from my old school, my current workplace, St. Joey's.
We did.
We had Sam Simpson and Jack Henry, both former St. Joey's boys, join us back at their old school.
They seemed inspired when they left.
Sammy Simpson, we'll get to him in a second, played a terrific game in the VFL. Jack Henry was out of control good. He went back. He no longer had to play as a pinch hit forward. He was brilliant in defence.
4 contested marks. He lit it up. He enjoyed going back to his stomping ground.
It was a complete performance.
I please put my hand up?
Yeah.
You know I'm the first to put my hand up when I have to. You're not. You're slow. The Reece Stanley Appreciation Fund has been running very dry, and that's through his own fault. His form's been poorish.
Yep.
You come up against the second best ruckman in the comp. You'd think a conversation, he might have got a whisper. Mate.
Last chance.
Darcy Ford's now fit. You're right on the precipice of, okay, what do I do? So hats off to him. He went, I will take this bloke to the cleaners, literally.
And he did, didn't he? He
ran forward on him, made Nick Nat look, embarrassed him with his accountability. It was outstanding.
Yeah, it was by Reece. It was exactly what we needed as a team.
And we've seen it a few times.
Yeah, so I know the you got to
some players respond.
Yeah, I hesitate to give a little backhander while we're giving a compliment.
It's a fair backhander though.
But is it proof that Rhys needs to be on edge and I don't mean always doubt and you're not going to be in the team, you're not going to be
no.
in the, but just say you need to perform like that or with that type of approach or that type of hunger. It was also his 150th game, had his family there, all that. But you need that attitude yeah. every single week. Otherwise, Asava and Darcy Ford will get the nod. Is he someone who plays better when on edge?
Well, I'd have him on edge every week because that was sensational from him. And it all flowed from him and the Cameron factor and then just the ball movement, everything that we've talked about.
So quarter time, 3 goals apiece. I was thinking this is going to be hard. This is going to be a grind still. I didn't see the second quarter coming. It felt like a shift in mindset is the way they wanted to play. There were more play on from marks. There was more of an intent to take the ball forward. Maybe West Coast allowed it a bit more. Maybe Jeremy McGovern going down gave them greater confidence yeah. to go forward. But there was certainly an intent to give their forwards a better opportunity.
I think having Cameron there, I mean, like, you know, just having him there knowing there's an extra target and the movement. Because Cameron, what I love about Tomahawk is he's unselfish.
Yep.
So he moves. There was always a constant movement there. It wasn't just big bloke, next bloke. And Cameron's great on the – well, we saw that. His leg speed's great. He knows where to run. He's smart. And then Gary Rowan's just sitting there laughing, popping off. I loved it. I think Cameron's presence helped subconsciously. Let's get the ball down quick. Let's go.
Because the most talented forwards, they just want the ball there quick
yeah.
to their advantage with some space to work. And I love the fact that they weren't competing on top of each other, those forwards. So it worked very well. I mentioned right at the start, Lake Imaging,
yeah,
busy
this
week.
Is
a worry. So Jake Colajasny with a medial ligament concern with his knee and Mark O'Connor definitely hamstring.
So that he's had a few issues this season. So they'll be both missing for a few weeks.
Well, yeah, three to four maybe for Mark O'Connor, which is a big blow considering what I wanted to see was next week. If O'Connor goes to Martin, the impact, just a little bit of research for later on in the year. So Dusty won't play this Friday night, so 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Geelong, Richmond. A little bit of, well, if O'Connor shuts Martin away, what do Richmond do? That
yeah,
type of thing.
Point.
We won't see it. Colajasny in a lot of doubt for this week.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play.
And maybe miss two, perhaps, with a medial ligament.
Potentially. But the back six.
What's it look like then with the back six?
Well, our St. Joey's man. Jack Henry slots straight back, clearly.
And another St. Joey's man, Tom Stewart's always there. A lot of good quality people from
that
school,
Blitz,
Scotty.
Blitz says Henderson, Stewart,
Henry,
Views, Atkins.
Yep.
That's what it is right now. And then you...
Is that still your balance? Do you still want Jordan Clark there?
I want Jordan Clark anywhere. And thankfully he got on and ran around a bit in the second half, but... Because your wingmen at the moment are Menengola and Isaac Smith.
Yeah, and Isaac Smith, terrific again, continues to have a really good solid season.
I like Clark and Luke Speed, you know that.
So you need, so the old thing of a back six now, with the number of rotations and time spent, that it's a seven.
Yeah.
So is the seventh with Colajasny going out,
yep.
Clark?
Go for Luke Speed, play Clark, definitely.
Or is it our old mate Reggie going back?
Well, he did go back.
He did.
Played well again. He's having a good run since he was rested in round one. And he went back and...
You can get a bit of rebound off at the SCG. If you got a good...
Oh, he'll have 5 shots a goal.
So is it Reg or is it Jordan Clark?
Well, it's probably Reg because he's already in the team. We've got to get Clark into the team. Well,
Colajasny goes out. Clark in.
No, but what about Shark out?
Shark out. Who in?
Well, this is where we come to your other St. Joey's man.
Oh, Sammy Simpson, who was superb last year, creates play, half forward plus midfield time.
Smart, kicks it well.
He hit the ground running as though he had not missed a beat in the VFL. They dominated against the under 18 academy group. Is it enough, though?
He was only 1 or 2 weeks back.
True.
It might be too early for him, which opens the door for all of our friends like Chuka or Maxi Holmes, or we've seen a couple of them, Sparkle Narkle. Like, there are options.
Sparkle Narkle had a little concern coming out of that VFL game. Oh. I haven't heard much more. I just noticed.
I've seen him on the training track.
We are up in the commentary boxes, radio boxes, and watching training. Looks pretty good at training, though. Yeah, I think he ended the game with a bit of ice on an ankle, but a lot of that is precautionary sometimes. So he's running around fine. We need noticing the midfield group, the Ruckman, Darcy Fort, Asava, and Reese, all part of that midfield group.
I think a big bonus, and you get this, when the game opens up, people get touches and make them feel a bit better about life. You know, Grime, Myers, Dalhouse, these guys who we have been watching because they haven't been at the level, everyone seemed to get involved in the end, didn't they? It was a nice touchy-feely way to get back to a bit of form if you haven't been feeling it.
Yeah, and get some belief in, well, when we do play with a bit more intent to take the ball forward, this can happen. And it's not going to end up, it's not going to be a 10-goal quarter with this. And so don't, I'm not coming out of Saturday's game saying, got to go fast all the time, super fast all the time. That has never been what I've pushed for. Because I believe in, if you're pinned back deep in defence and the ball's gone over the fence, there's a free kick, whatever, it's been really slow, the opposition is perfectly set and you're deep in defence, well, okay, I know my old team, played a certain way, which was really aggressive with our ball
corridor,
movement.
Let's rock and roll.
But they feel a comfort in controlling possession. So that's fine from those scenarios. What I loved on the weekend, you could see, was a clear intent that still control when they had to control, but we're looking, the eyes were darting, and when something opened, or there was a run from behind, handball receive, or there was a wheel and go movement, they were prepared to do it. So that, looking for more opportunities to get aggressive with the ball movement. Not every time, but just more opportunities. And that's what I think they need to take into Saturday night against the Swans.
Well, the coach, to be fair, the coach kept saying, this is actually not how we want to play. This is the defensive nature, that's sort of in our DNA, but it's not how we want to. And we saw, maybe, that's what he was talking about. This is actually more. But I go back to Cameron being there just changes the psyche.
Because of the confidence to go there.
Yeah, there's two. It's not, because if you're going quick and it's Tomahawk, it's easy to opposition numbers. But if you go quick and it's Cameron and Tomahawk, and then here's Rowan suddenly lining up, it's like they don't know what to do. They have to man them up.
Well, if you saw, for those who watched the game on the weekend, I know most of our listeners would have, Gary Rowan got, he was electric early and actually got them going a little bit.
He did.
He got his marks and he got his footy by moving into the longer kick late.
Yeah.
Because the opposition defence, and even when McGovern was there, was so fixated on, where's Hawkins? Where's Cameron? Where's the ball's going to go to either one of those two or both of those two? Quite stationary and reactive to where the ball's going to go with them. Rowan was coming in late and taking launching at the ball because, and this is not disrespectful, was almost an afterthought to the West Coast defence because they were so fixated on the other two.
How'd Tim Kelly enjoy his return?
I love Tim and I love the way he plays, but I'm also a believer of you leave the club and you come back here, you don't let him have a nice day. And I love the fact they didn't let him have a nice day.
He was in a long list. Adam Simpson didn't miss him. I mean, this team's supposed to be a premiership. Like, this is, I know West Coast on the road, but they're supposed to be a top four legitimate premiership contender. Yep. And the Cats fixed them by nearly 100. Like, that's very, very impressive.
And it was how badly they capitulated in the end. Hmm. And yes, Yo, Shuey, Josh Kennedy, McGovern goes down. I get that. Probably with those missing, they're never going to win the game. But Adam Simpson's looking for a lot more competitive performance than that. So going into Sydney.
Well, it's their bubbles burst. I predicted this.
Okay.
I'm a genius. I pick Gold Coast. Sydney have got injuries. They're in trouble.
Can I play devil's advocate for just a moment?
You can't pump Sydney up.
I'm not going to pump them up. I'm going to say that they have strategically managed the last couple of weeks, and they've dropped the game, so it hasn't worked, but they've left a couple of young blokes out at times.
But they've got injuries to good players.
They've got injuries to good players.
Rampy, Hickey, Franklin, Heaney came back.
I get all that, so it's not ideal.
Oh, you're suggesting they're pacing the youngsters who will bounce back against the Cats.
That's what they would be looking to do. Home game, opportunity.
No. Cats play well at that ground too.
Agreed. I look at it and now with an air of confidence, with Geelong perhaps their mindset changing with ball movement, that they should go and beat the Swans. But the Swans would also be looking at it as a plan at the previous 2 weeks, probably all there. So this is where the fitness gurus and that, they do look closely. All the GPS data, the training data, they would see an 18-year-old, a Logan McDonald, and they would see his output in both the game and training is just completely falling. He can no longer run at high intensity for as long.
Yeah.
He's sore, he's tired, he's whatever. So they bring those types of players out for a game or two with the aim of freshening them back up. That's just where they may have been aiming for. I don't think they saw getting touched up by 40 points by the Suns in that
plan.
That was
a bad loss. Tom McCartan's out as well. He's a gun. So
is he out?
He missed last week, yeah.
Is he out again this week, though?
Not sure.
Good player.
They're just low on that. I know they were all exciting the first month, but when you lose five or six of your senior players, I'm sorry. It can fall out quick.
Okay, so if you're chairman of selectors, a role that no longer exists.
It should.
Jordan Clark, medical sub, comes in.
He has to play a full game.
For
yes.
Collar Jasny. Who's coming in O'Connor?
I want Sam Simpson in the team, but we feel he might be a week away. They might make him do a little bit more game time. Contested footy, Josh Kennedy. Yeah, Chooker. Why not?
Go inside.
Play on Josh Kennedy.
Similar
players, pace not an issue, ball magnet. Him or Sparkle.
Wouldn't be a bad matchup.
Or you get Maxie Holmes, give him another taste. You know, he's earned it. He's played well again the twos.
Okay.
Why not? He could run up and down the wing of the SCG. I think there's all those possibilities.
Medical sub? Do you recommend the medical sub being fit and actually ready to go on the ground when required?
What a disgrace. And he backed over it. Matthew Nicks next day made it even worse. This is what we planned. We were happy with it. Oh, my Lord. He was injured.
And he didn't
so he's actually an injured player. He was sitting in his trackies eating pies, not any interest. And a bloke's coming off. The footage of this guy getting carried off, clearly injured, never going to play again. Tom Lynch still hasn't flinched.
Did he have to go and get his ankles strapped?
Hadn't had his ankles strapped. Had to find socks. And the game was decided by 3 points. He played 10 minutes and was hopeless.
It's bizarre.
Oh, this is how we planned. And the Matthew Nicks, oh my Lord. The research showed us that, the medical sub comes on 10 minutes later after the moment. You know, you get them warmed up. That's what it takes. No, because they're running up and down. They're actually, it was an abomination.
Well, let's hope whoever the medical sub is for the Cats this
week.
They'll
be stripped and fit. Stripped, and strapped.
Strapped and ready to go.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with that. But you can't keep, you know, Clark, you can't keep putting the same guy, obviously.
No, I want to see Jordan Clark whole game. A little
SCG will suit him too. Break the lines.
Yeah, a little opening has just opened up for him. Let him play a little bit. We're just watching a training drill play it right now. Blitzarves v Radigalia. Jack Henry just mopping things up. Oh, big tackle, Radigalia. There we go. That's what we like to see, hunting the footy.
He was rested from the reserve, so I think they're building him up. You talk about building. I think he's probably a couple of weeks away from being unleashed.
I think when you say rested too, he may have just perhaps little understanding. Don't unleash him on a bunch of 17 and 18-year-old kids.
My attitude is you bring them into the dance, they have to cop who's
not
there.
Not a full-blooded tackle by Asava Radigalia.
Don't roster the kids against our might of our VFL boys.
You know who was excellent too? Ockenbaugh. Stefan Ockenbaugh running
the lines. I keep hearing he's athletic and he's exciting.
Yep.
Well, why don't I see him out here? Put him on a half-back flank. He can be the sub this week.
We just found out our back six is tough.
I'm ready
to
start tinkering. All right. More new faces.
Let's take a break because Paul Chambers.
Oh, one of your former... although I think you ran him out of the tank.
Don't be silly. Former teammate, now the community education manager, is going to talk about some of the community programs they're doing. Amy McDonald, as I said, the best and fairest winner for the AFLW is going to join us a little bit later on. We'll get to your questions. We'll be back very, very soon.
For all your new season Cats gear, hats, hoodies, you name it, get down to the Cats shop at GMHBA Stadium today or visit thecatsshoponline.com.au. The Cats shop is your one-stop shop for everything you need to support the greatest team of all. Go Cats!
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us on To The Final Bell, brought to you by Lake Imaging. It's now our great pleasure, Scotty, to welcome our guest on this week's podcast, a man who I must admit I haven't seen for a few years, but hasn't aged a day.
I'm not shocked that you don't keep in touch with your close teammates, Cameron. You're always about you and not the team.
Stop it, Scotty. I just want to sort of get our guest to realise he's allowed to blow out post-career and, like, get put on a couple of kilos. Instead, he looks like he could still play. I'm talking about Paul Chambers, the community education manager at the club. Sarge, sorry, good to see you.
Thanks, Lingy. Great to be back, mate, and to reconnect to you at GMHBA Stadium.
32 games with the Cats, 12 with the Swans. We'll just forget about that Swans part of it.
Now, think back. Why did you force him out after 05? You were building into a dynasty, Cameron.
Well, I think the Swans just came with an offer.
All
just
the cash.
Too good to be true. Sarge, you are the community education manager at the moment, and we've stolen you away today from a really important initiative that the club's been doing now for 5 years, Healthy Heroes, GMHBA Healthy Heroes. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, Lingy. So downstairs at the moment, we've got our grade 5-6s here at the stadium. And last week, we were really excited to announce an expansion of our program. So my role here is to look after Healthy Heroes. That's normally gone out to grade 3-4 students. And we look at really empowering students and teaching them about the importance of healthy living. And we look at, we know that in our region, not enough students eat healthy vegetables, not enough students get moving during the day and watch a bit too much screen time. So our response as a club is the Healthy Heroes, and we're really excited to be expanding our program. So we've got a great team down at the community education team here at the Cats, and we've got now a suite of programs from preps where we have Half Cat and Claudia going out, which I'm pumped about. And as
so
our ambassadors,
you don't get dressed up.
If there's a tall half cat going around, but I have to say, I've put on the shoes and they fit fantastic. They're about size 16 and they're just snug, so they're really comfortable.
And you come from a teaching background, so you understand the importance of it.
So you now, Cameron, you work at a school. Well, anyway,
I come from, let's call it an education background. I'm not sure you'd trust me with the teaching component. But you've seen firsthand the importance of getting this type of education into young minds.
Yeah, that's right. I finished my career as an AFL player and pretty much began my teaching journey overseas for 3 years, which was interesting in London, working around all sort of areas there and then being in the Geelong community for 7 years. And really there is such a link between that we know well-being and the healthy eating and the physical activity. So, I'm all for it and that's why I'm here.
Now, I've parented. Cameron's in the middle of trying to figure out his youngsters. We've had a few issues from Saturday, but we'll get into that later. What's the best way to get to kids, in your opinion, with a great initiative like this? Because I get it. They can see Geelong, so that gets them half interested rather than just a teacher saying, do this. What's the method?
So if I was going to be in front of my grade 1-2s as a teacher, I know that I'm not going to be near as effective as our player ambassadors, who are fantastic, by the way. Like, we are so privileged to be working with our AFLW and AFL players here at Geelong Football Club that go out and deliver our messages directly to the students. And we've shown that they've got that power to really cut through and deliver those messages and engage those students who might not be aware of the those health messages that we're promoting. And they are just all fantastic.
We've seen... I mean, talk about the Melbourne clubs for a second. I don't know as much what goes on interstate. It's harder for the Melbourne clubs to connect with immediate parts of their community just because Melbourne's a huge population spread everywhere. You've got Richmond supporters not necessarily living just in Richmond. It is one of the lucky things we have here, isn't it, that the community of Geelong and the greater area of Geelong, down Bellarine Peninsula, Surf Coast, etc., they can touch and feel the Cats' presence, can't they? They are right there. They are in their classrooms. They can come here. They can see them. It is a pretty special thing we have.
It is. when I took on this role last year, unfortunately, we didn't get to roll out. So it came to...
would have been a good job. You couldn't go anywhere.
I know, that's right. Yeah, it came to the night before, and unfortunately, we got we weren't allowed to go at the schools. But I couldn't be more proud of working at the club during that time and thinking of the history we have as a football club, as we were discussing before, 160 years in the community and being there and delivering those community programs and just having that inbuilt into our... into really our mission that we have every day of engaging.
Which players are the ambassadors? Do they all get a run, or have you got a select few?
No, we...
Who's best? I can imagine some of the intellects would go well with a few of the kids.
Yeah, so we're very lucky. We have two lead ambassadors who are fantastic. So we've got Joel Selwood and Nita Morrison.
Well,
now to get
start at the top. Yeah,
and to get our 10-year captain like on the field, who's as courageous as anything, and then
I'm going to listen to him if he says eat my greens.
That's right, or else, yeah. But having him in flannel pajamas and delivering that message of the importance of sleep, how that relates to well-being and performing on the field is we are just so lucky.
Nina's like what everyone wants to be. Every girl wants to be a star AFLW player.
Mm. And then we go down and we've got 12 ambassadors this year, 6 AFLW and 6 AFL players who we're really lucky to have.
It's interesting. Some players are better than others with the kids. I remember back to our early days, Dave Johnson, who was a terrific player here and then a long-time player welfare manager here. His way with the kids was better than anyone. He was just remarkable. He'd have fun with them. He'd be cheeky with them. He'd give them a serious message. There's an art to it. Saj, can I just switch pace just for a second?
Yep.
Just for our listeners, our loyal listeners, and some would remember you, some may not of our listeners. They're newer, younger. We cater to
one
all
of the great
different
Ruckman
age groups. Can I reminisce quickly about your footy career?
Absolutely. Cats? Let's do it.
Your time here. Yep. What are your memories?
Well, I came down as an 18-year-old. It's really funny coming into the system. Like, I loved playing footy, but I wasn't a massive follower of the game. So I was just walking in and everything was fresh and all the players and really, that first year was just amazing and a fantastic experience. I ended up sharing a house with Dave Johnson, so I've definitely got good memories of spending a lot of time with Dave and progressing through our career there and really just watching the progression of the club and that leadership group of, you know, Scarlo coming through and Tommy Harley, yourself, and all the way through those 5 years. So, again, looking back, it does feel so long ago, but, I couldn't even think about doing a ruck contest anymore. My knee would just explode. So.
And how was Bomber? Did he embrace the ruckman at that stage? Well, or not?
It's funny. Yeah, it's... I was always an understudy to Stephen King.
Yeah.
So it was really that sort of journeyman role and just really trying to work out where I can best fit in the team and how I can come in and support in that role, however it was. And probably had one good year for me, which was 2003. Unfortunately, did my knee at the G on the last game for me for that year, and then I was out for then and then in and out of the team, and eventually ended up at Sydney in 2006. Where I played the 12 games, but unfortunately succumbed to essentially the knee injury
PCL, you were telling us?
Yeah, PCL, yeah, and that was before the centre square circle came in. So I just remember
now
it was
it's trendy.
Yeah.
You were the first.
Yeah. Well, I was probably one of the last actually. Yeah.
That were the days when you just start a big run up and launch at each other often the two knees would clash. Yeah. It was a serious risk for ruckman. It's a smart move they've made now, isn't it?
Oh, and then adjusting to that going to Sydney, we had a great ruck coach as Stephen Torbett, who just again just all about ownership of space and reading the ball and even down to the watching the umpires who's bouncing where and all that sort of thing. But essentially it was lining up 20 meters apart, running in. So that's 40 meters. And because I'm not big, so my strategy was just jump and then jump harder and harder. Yeah.
But now the bike, Lycra, has taken over. Yeah, fitness campaigning.
There was a bit of Lycra going around. Then I had the birth of my first child, so that was nearly 5 years ago. Kind of getting less and less now. It's more of a negotiation where I can get out. So the bike lights come out, so not untold of going around at 4:30 in the morning to get it in and before the kids wake up. And
two kids now,
yep. So two girls and essentially that's pretty much the reason why I'm here now. Yeah. And I could have been quite happy teaching, but really, I just loved learning about nutrition. I loved going shopping with my girls and then just want them to pretty much have the best community that they can grow up in.
So you've part of the community team led by Sarah Alban, yep. who we've had on the podcast before and an absolute star with some of the stuff that she does and your entire team does. You're focused on all of these messages, the GMHBA Healthy Heroes, all the programs you take out to the community, that connection with the community. How much of an eye do you still have to the footy? Do you get much of a chance to take in what the boys are doing out on the field?
It is. I have to say, I love my office. Like watching training and being able to sit up there and watch the boys, and then like I look out, and I'm like, yeah, no, the ruck's not for me now. So I'd be quite happy just floating around in the forward line. But no, I'm quite very comfortable on the other side of the fence, mate. Just as a casual fan now, and being able to enjoy the game on the weekend, and then going home and waking up pretty good in the morning.
That's the smart move. Yeah. You're doing some terrific things. As I said, Healthy Heroes right now is happening. What are the other things that you roll out throughout the course of this season?
So we're going to have a 1-2 program where we offer a digital booklet to all schools. So we've got our ambassadors reading a story time. So we've got Brandon Parfitt, Sean Higgins, reading a story to the kids, and that goes directly into the classroom, which is pretty cool. And then, as I said, yeah, we've got our 5-6 program with a group of emerging leaders within different school communities who we run through masterclasses and support them to co-design a message back to their school.
Oh, well, you're doing great work, mate. We really appreciate you taking your time out. You've got to go back now to the GMHBA Healthy Heroes program, facilitate a few more classes. Appreciate you taking the time to have a chat to us and keep up the great work.
Cheers, Lungi. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, mate.
Well, great to chat with the Community Education Manager, part of the community team at the Cats, Paul Chambers there. I do call him Sarge because famously for those old Cat fans out there, there was an old trainer at the club, Sarge Chambers, Brian Sarge Chambers. Strangely, I don't even think I remember what Sarge's, the trainer's real first name was.
Sergeant.
We all just called him Sarge.
No, that's his last name. No,
And so when Paul Chambers arrived, obviously with the same last name, he just got Sarge immediately. So that's why I was calling him Sarge. But great to chat with him. We're going to take a quick break and then let's get to some of the listener questions. Scotty, we'll be back soon.
For all your new season Cats gear, hats, hoodies, you name it, get down to the Cats shop at GMHBA Stadium today or visit thecatsshoponline.com.au. The Cats Shop is your one-stop shop for everything you need to support the greatest team of all. Go Cats!
Welcome back. It's great to have you with us on To The Final Bell, brought to you by Lake Imaging. We've just been chatting with a man who's doing very good things off the field with the education program and the GMHBA Healthy Heroes. Time to get back on the field. And the best and fairest winner for the AFLW, Amy McDonald, is with us. Amy, great to have you with us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've dominated the best and fairest.
I'd say.
No, I was going to say won the best and fairest, but
in.
Dominated is fair. 71 votes leading from Meg McDonald, 36 votes, All-Australian Meg McDonald. Congratulations.
Ruined the night, Amy. You must have ruined the night. Where was the tension, the suspense? How was the night?
It was a pretty special night. I went in there definitely not expecting it to go exactly how I did, but I think about halfway through the night I sort of understood what direction it was heading, and, yeah, the nerves definitely kicked in.
Well, about 30 ahead halfway. I think you're in good spot, Cameron.
Well, it shows how good a season you did have. Did you sense it throughout the year that you just felt a level of understanding, comfortable, influence, you could see what was happening in your own game, you knew what level to take it to?
Yeah, I definitely felt like over the off season I had a lot of growth, and then throughout the season I was just able to put in consistent performances, I guess. Each week I did feel quite comfortable within my role and with the support of the girls around me. So, yeah, I think things did click.
It was a tough year. I mean, I think one win, but a lot of growth in the group. How did you assess the season after it finished?
Yeah, whilst the season was going, it was quite challenging. As you said, it's easy to look at the win-loss ratio and think we didn't have a great season and there wasn't many positives to come out. But I think once everything sort of settled and we're able to review it, there was actually a lot of growth within our group, and we are such a young side that the more time we spend together and gel, I think we're working towards that longer term success, which is really exciting.
And talk about that long-term success. Part of that is the high-profile season is the AFLW season. We all watch that. But part of that growth is then going and creating something from the VFLW season. So right now, as we sit, I think the team's 6-2, won the last four games. But it doesn't have all the AFLW players, does it, the team? And I think you're perhaps aiming for to play this week, which will be your first game with the VFLW. So is that where a lot of that development's coming for future seasons?
Yeah, I think we're really fortunate that we are able to have the VFLW to learn and grow and continue to grow our games. Last year, obviously, through COVID, that didn't happen. So a lot of the girls did a really incredible job of, you know, they were in lockdown in Melbourne, some of them. They couldn't travel anywhere, but they were getting out and doing their exercise each day. But I think this year, because we do have VFLW, all the girls will rotate through there and we'll be able to work on our craft and really, develop and hopefully take our game to a next level.
I mean, there's a lot of debate about full-time professional, length of season, where season should be put. I mean, what do you have to juggle? Are you a student or a job? How do you juggle everything? And I gather it's not easy.
It's a challenge, that's for sure. I work full-time as well. It's just all about finding the balance. I kind of see it from the perspective that I see that I'm so fortunate to have the opportunity to play at the elite level. And I do think one day it will get to being a full-time profession and we won't have to juggle, you know, study, work, football. But I do think we're still growing towards that, and it might be a 5+ years away maybe. But I think as long as we're getting all the support we can to balance whatever it is we're doing with our lives, including football, it does make it easier to work through it all.
And part of that long road and professionalism is when players get injured. I did notice in the best and fairest voting, Liv Purcell still finished up equal fourth, 25 votes. And we've seen Nina Morrison, unfortunately, have a bit of a horror run with injuries over her early stages of her career. That challenge of when there's a long-term injury, you know, the men's game can just be here 24/7 if they want and lock into whatever rehab they do. How have you seen the girls be able to balance putting the necessary rehab and recovery into serious injuries, but with everything that you're talking about, either study or work off the field?
I've been fortunate not to be in that position, so I don't have a full understanding of it myself, but from an outside perspective looking in, they just tackle it as if they were playing, I guess. So they have the exact same commitment as our players who are able to get out on the track and play each week. They're there at the trainings four nights a week in the gym doing their rehab. So they pretty much attack it in the exact same way as if they were playing. In terms of how they tackle their work or study, I guess it's really dependent on what they do if it's a high physical job. So I'm sure depending on their scenarios, they're getting a lot of support in that space. But in terms of how they're tackling it, that it's still head on. It's no different from whether they were injured or not. It's been really remarkable to watch how they have handled it.
Have you just been resting since the end of the season or training? As I mentioned before, am I right? First game back this
week? I was going to go down a different track.
What?
Well, is there end of season trips? Is there, what happens here?
We were fortunate to finish up on the Gold Coast.
Hello.
The additional night out of that, so that was pretty enjoyable. And we do have an upcoming trip.
Here we go, Cameron. Now we're getting to the real story.
So that's that little secret, and then the BFL and training. I'll just sneak over to that direction. Hopefully, getting back playing this week. So I've done a little bit of training on my own here in Ballarat, and then last week I headed back up to Geelong and have started getting around all the VFLW girls and getting to know them. So hopefully, this weekend I'll be able to play alongside them.
Not a bad result. Four wins in a row. And we just bring back the AFLW Best and Fairest winner. Perfect result. Amy, congratulations again on your wonderful season. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck for the VFLW season. Keep up the, or hopefully the team can keep up the great form.
Thanks so much for having me. Good chatting.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Scotty, good value pick up there. Pick number 80.
Oh, I know. I was just reading that.
And
no one else can find winner. Her.
And dominated the best and fairest. We didn't want to embarrass her too much, but completely dominated the voting.
23, she polled 71 votes. Second was 36.
And Meg, who came second, was all Australian.
Is not a relation.
No. I so
it's a fair question.
Well, I just didn't want to embarrass myself.
To go, your sister went really well finishing second, Amy.
I just had this double check. I'm certain they're not related, but I just need to check.
No, you did the right better thing. Off,
but now you've brought it on.
I know, of course. I was always going to do that.
I had to do that. Hey, let's get to the questions. But before we do, you know this one. You're high on the hill looking over the bridge.
Great song.
You know the rest.
Paul Kelly.
Correct. Enjoy the ultimate footy experience and catch the Geelong Cats live on the grandest stage of all this season with a Melbourne 5 membership. So we are talking about the MCG, of course. Oh. Starting at just $15 a month and $6.50 for juniors, you can secure your seat some of the biggest games on the footy calendar at the mighty MCG.
$15 a month.
Yep.
Get on board.
Or $6.50 for juniors or Marvel Stadium. Be there to watch the game as it should be played and experience the city at its best, the laneways, the coffee, the restaurants, all the little haunts that Scotty Gallen and his prime.
I can recommend some places.
And, of course, the Cats at the G. Grab the hottest ticket in town and enjoy priority access to the 2021 final series. See you at the footy. Go Cats. Question time,
good
Scotty.
Good value.
I've got an entire page of questions here. I don't know if I'll get to all of them.
I believe the team might have suddenly lit up.
Yes, they
so
did.
So now our listeners are lighting up.
Sam Rutledge asks, who was your favourite star growing up? You're a Dogs man.
Yeah, but I can talk about Geelong, obviously. We'll keep
but who was your absolute favourite dog?
Doug Hawkins was my favourite. Geelong played, well, senior. I was in this scene. I saw Senior doing some serious stuff.
I loved Stoneham, I loved Brownless, I loved Hockey, all of them, but there was something magical about Senior.
Because I'm from Colic, we used to always follow our own brethren, Darren Forsman. Remember him?
The left yes.
And then number Lynchy, 33. He played with Lynchy with his dodgy hammies.
Number 18?
Yeah. He could have been anything, Lynchy.
Paul Couch was Warrnambool, Boggy Creek, wasn't it? Yeah, a bit further down. Okay. Dan Fenno asks, do you agree that the longer quarters and less rotations are causing more injuries?
Sadly, I think it's probably a fair correlation.
Or is it just accident? So Dangerfield was a twist and roll. Like, that's an ankle.
Yeah, there's accidents.
Lockie Neal's is an ankle.
Yeah, but we do have collar hamstring, O'Connor hamstring.
Collar
I think potentially, yes. I don't want them to change it. I mean, they do enough studies and come up with enough silly answers. But I think logically, it makes sense.
I love the ebb and flow throughout quarters and matches where the speed and the power early on is there and lightning quick, but late in quarters, the endurance players can take over.
I think it's
over.
Perfect. I mean, the Hawthorn-Adelaide game went for like 3 days, but it was very entertaining.
Yeah. No, I love it. Woodbury Stretch asks, our back six looks unsettled for the first time in a long time. Who is our best back six? I think we've answered that
in the
first seg. So hopefully our thoughts are there. Jeffrey Duran, I'm new to footy from the US. Why was Mitch Duncan's goal called a barrel?
Oh, this is good. Could have been a torp.
Torpedo.
Well, because the ball, that's actually a good point. Is it because, I don't know. Does the ball go in a shape of a...
Like spins, like a... I get the torpedo,
like,
but that's why, because a barrel rolls.
Maybe.
The rolling motion of it. Here I am doing all these hand signals, where I am...
It's been a term that's been around forever, and maybe the spinning nature of the kick.
Gee, it was good to watch.
It was fantastic. So and he didn't really nail it either.
No, not perfect.
It was a halfer.
The cheese connoisseur asks, how do you see the year shaping up for the kids? I think there's some exciting kids.
Well, we're seeing kids.
We've had a little taste of Max Holmes. We've had a little taste of Sam DeConing.
DeConing got a run, that's right. I think we're seeing some smatterings of youth. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Eshton Liu, Lingy, who won the sexiest man in the AFL? Who is the next Geelong player in line for the award? Zach Tui. Well, I won it twice.
You did. That was the Herald Sun poll. It's very funny. Sexiest man in the AFL.
James Kerr. Who are the good-looking Roosters in the current team?
Oh, you could start with...
There's not a lot of them.
Oh, I think the Ruckman goes okay.
Oh, yes, yes. Reece Stanley's a big, beautiful man.
I think
man.
He's a part-time model or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Reece could probably strut in there.
Tom Hawkins is just always gorgeous. The eyes. They talk about the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give them the two big blokes.
The two big boys. Joffa 77, do you think Jed Bewes would be an asset as a pinch hitter in the middle? I'm going to say no.
Big body, burst. Yeah, he's got the burst away with speed.
Yeah.
I think
he plays better with the game in front of him rather than around him.
I don't think it's needed, but I'm open to all sorts of pinch hitting.
Okay. All right. That's your questions for this week. Thank you very much for those who've sent in. Keep them coming in. There's a couple there that I didn't get to just because of time. We'll carry those over to next week. I'll try. I was going to say a promise, but I'll try.
Good luck.
It's hard to get all your questions in, but we do appreciate you sending them in. Keep them coming. It's been great to have your company. Scotty, as always, love talking footy with you.
Pleasure.
Are you going away next week?
Yeah, I might be absent. There may be. But I didn't want to flag that because the listeners will drop off.
No, I don't know.
Stay with us.
There could be a little spike
next week. The replacement will be adequate.
Reg, Stokesy.
Could be any of the two
Mitch
greats.
Mitch Cleary's been on before.
He has filled in for me previously.
Maybe we get a newbie.
I'll leave it up to you.
Do you reckon I could just do a solo podcast?
That would scare me.
Okay, I promise.
It'll go for 3.5 hours. You're just waffling on.
I promise I won't do that. Scotty, you enjoy next week, whatever little shenanigans.
Just some time off just to reassess my life.
Yeah, good. Little recharge. Thank you for your company. Hopefully we're talking about another Cats win again next week, Saturday night at the SCG against the Swans. We will be back next week.